survey that we took just a moment ago, 100% of people enjoy being blessed. Blessings are good. Blessings are encouraging. Are very welcome. Today we're going to talk about the blessings of obeying Jesus. The blessings of obeying Jesus. Now I know that sometimes when we preach on sin, which we should preach on sin, right? And we emphasize and this is what's going to happen. Because there are always consequences. Wow, that's kind of weird sounding, isn't it? There are consequences anytime we disobey God. But this morning, I'm going to emphasize in particular from this passage of Scripture that we're looking at, I want to emphasize the positive side of the coin. Not like what will happen if you don't obey God and these consequences will be there, but more what happens if I do obey God? What happens if I do obey the Lord? What happens if I do listen to what the Lord has for me? Now, where, you might ask, where can we figure out how to obey the Lord? How do we know what He tells us and commands us to do? It's in the Word of God, right? And let me tell you, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher who didn't preach the Word of God. I'm thankful that we have the Word of God to preach. You see, I'm not smart enough to preach without the Word of God. Because I'd have to come up with something creative and, you know, something from the newspaper or preach on some current event. But I'm thankful that we have the Word of God that we can look at and we can learn from and we can draw things from that Word of God that helps me in our walk with God. And hopefully, I think this will probably be a two-parter, who knows. But we're talking about basically the blessings of obeying Jesus. And we're going to be in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. If you want to open your Bibles there, the verses will appear up there. Good Lord willing, here in a little bit. But in John chapter 15, we're going to be looking at this passage. But I want to tell you a few things about this passage before we get into it and look at the blessings of obeying Jesus. You see, John chapter 13 through John chapter 17, it's been described or labeled as the upper room discourse. You say, boy, that's pretty, sounds pretty formal. They were in the upper room, which from what I understand, in a lot of houses in those days, the upper room was a place, it was like a meeting place a lot of times. And Jesus met in the upper room just before he died upon the cross. He met with his disciples, okay? So he was up there meeting with his disciples. He celebrated the Passover meal. And he instituted the Lord's Supper or communion for us to observe as a church today. And he started the evening off by girding himself in a towel and taking his outer garment off and going around and washing the feet of his disciples. And then he was teaching them. He started to teach them, and then he mentioned something about Judas and being betrayed, and Judas leaves, and then he continues to preach them to them. In this passage, it's actually the longest continuous teaching of Jesus in all of the Bible. If you'll see it, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, which means the words of Christ are in red, you'll see that it goes chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. It's the longest, it's even longer than the Sermon on the Mount. But I want to emphasize one point in particular. We're going to be looking at John chapter 15. We're going to be looking at the verses in particular, verses 10 to 17. But I want to point out to you something about the word commandments. You see, one of the big themes of this talk or teaching of Jesus was keep my commandments. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But the disciples were pretty thick-headed too, like we are. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of what is obvious, right? And he'd been with them for 3 years of ministry, and He wanted to, y'all hear me okay? Is it too annoying? It's got a little bit of a rasp to it. Y'all okay? Maybe it's just I'm hearing it more than anybody else maybe. But he wanted to remind them of the 3 years of teaching and ministry that he had had with them. And, you know, to me, this sounds pretty important because this is the last extended time he had to teach his disciples. Because if you remember right after this, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, and prays three different times? And he's like, Lord, if this could pass from me. And then he gets to the point, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but what you want me to do. And then remember, Judas shows up and betrays him with a kiss. And then remember, he has the various trials, and the very next day, Jesus dies upon the cross to pay for our sins. So Jesus, of course, knew that his time was very limited. And this may be the last extended time I have to talk to my disciples, and it was his apostles. So to me, these words are pretty important, I would think, don't you? And in this, in particular, he talks about commandments, commandments, those three words. It's mentioned nine times as he teaches in the upper room discourse or this teaching span. And it seems to me that one of the big major parts of this upper room discourse or teaching time of Jesus, preaching time of Jesus, was, listen, you need to keep my commandments. And even right around the passage here, in the passage, as we're looking at verses 10 to 17, five different references to the commands of Jesus. Five different references to the commands of Jesus. Do you think the Lord is serious about his commands? I believe he is. I just want to point out the word right now before we read it. But notice it says in verse 10 of John chapter 15, if you keep my what? Commandments. It says in verse 12, this is my what? Commandment. It says in verse 14, actually there's two in verse 10, I missed one. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment, also in verse 10. It says in verse 12, this is my commandment. It says in verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 17 says these things, I command you that ye love one another. So I think, unless I'm really missing it, one of the big emphases of this passage is keeping the commands of Jesus. But the good news is, he details six different huge blessings that we can glean from if we only listen and do things Jesus' way. And I'm going to read it. Again, the message, the blessings of obeying Jesus. If you would follow along, we'll read this passage, and then we're going to look at three different blessings this morning that we have when we obey the commands of Jesus. It says in verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. You see, if you really want to be blessed in life, if I really want to be blessed in my life, I need to obey the commands of Jesus. So if you're there today and you say, yeah, blessings, yeah, that's me, I want blessings, I hope you listen really, really, really close today. Point number one, we find in verse 10, You know, Jesus showers us with his love. That's a blessing of obeying Jesus. You say, preacher, 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 preacher. Some of you say, pastor, pastor, pastor. And some of you just say, preacher, preacher, preacher. I know you do that. You may not do it at church, but you do it at home sometimes. You're like, man, that preacher. But listen, listen, look at the verse 10. Jesus, when we obey the voice of Jesus, when we obey the command of Jesus, he showers us with his love. Look at verse 10. Look, it says, it's not rocket science. If ye keep my commandments, right? There's a condition there. If ye keep my commandments. Again, where are the commandments? The things that he's told us in the word, right? They're right here. They're not complicated. They're not like head scratching. It's right here. If we'll just take the time to spend time in this, we'll know what the commands. And it says, if you keep my commandments, right here it is, ye shall abide in my love. You say, abide in his love. Well, doesn't all Christians abide in God's love? I'd say to a degree, yes. Because we've experienced the love of God, right? We've experienced in our lives. If we know the Lord as Savior, we've been truly born again. We've trusted him, made that decision to ask him to forgive him of my sins and to be my Savior and tell him I believe that Jesus really did die for my sins. And we really do that and mean that from the heart. Yes, we experience a degree of that love, right? But I don't know about you. I don't want just a little dab of his love. I think what it's talking about here, now if you go back, it talks about the true vine. It talks about the true vine of Jesus and how that we abide, need to abide in that vine and we'll bear lots of fruit. But here it talks about abiding in love. Again, I don't think it's talking about, well, I just get by with a little bit of God's love. I think even the lost people, the people that have not trusted Jesus, in a sense, they experience the love of God too, right? Because God loves them, and God loves them so much, he sent his son Jesus. I think I know a verse about that, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's the people of the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I think every human being, when you wake up and you got breath, whether you know Jesus as Savior or not, you, in a sense, are experienced in love and grace of God. When you can breathe, when you can look at the beautiful mountains that we have, and you experience all those things. But you know what? I want more than just a little tiny dab of God's love. You know, I want to be right smack dab in the center of God's love. I want it to be real to me. I want to wake up every day and say, you know what? I feel good. I'm experiencing the love of God. And you say, well, how do you do that? Obey Jesus. Do what he wants you to do. Some of you might be there and say, I don't know, preacher. That's kind of a head scratcher. I can't say I really experience the love of Jesus in a real way. It's not really that real to me. Well, let me ask you, are you obeying what Jesus tells you to do? You know, we can't live our life and say, even as a Christian, and believe me, I've been doing this a while, there's a lot of Christians who want to be truly born again and want heaven, but the rest of the time on earth, they want to do their own thing. Now, don't be sitting there saying, well, I just don't know. I mean, what are you talking about? The love of God, experiencing and being real. It's kind of like one of those things. I know it's there, but it's not real to me. Well, are you doing things the Lord's way? I mean, I didn't write this. The Lord did. I didn't say this. Jesus did. And he said, if you keep my commandments, it says, if you keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love. And then he puts forth, lest I move on and forget what it says here or pass it and just skip over it. It says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, the Lord Jesus, the Son, when he was on this earth, you know, we got the Trinity. We got God the Father, right? God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're all God, but they have their distinct roles to play, right? They're not on different pages. They are on exactly the same page because they are one. And when Jesus, the Son, was on the earth, he was very much aware of doing exactly what the Father wanted him to do. It says it as you read in these stories, you know, even to the very end in Gethsemane, as I mentioned earlier, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He was very much in tune with doing what the Father wanted him to do. And he says, as I have abided in his love, I want you to abide in the same love that I've abided in, the love of the Lord. And you do that by obeying and doing what he wants you to do. Now, some of you might still be like, that's a little fuzzy. What do you mean, abiding? And I get that. That word's kind of, eh. How many of you have noticed that it's been raining a lot lately? Hello? How many of you have noticed that it's been raining? If you don't know it's raining, you need to get out of your cave a little bit more. It's been raining a fair amount. And as such, you know what it means when someone... You know, I have a classification. It's like very light rain, medium rain, or hard rain. And then you have your... some people call them gully washers. I've heard them called toad chokers. Toad chokers. You know, it's so much that the toads and the frogs are choking. Yeah. You know, and you kind of can classify that, but if you're outside and you're doing something and it's a little sprinkle, you know it's a little sprinkle, right? And that's the way I would describe a lot of people when they're not really doing what God wants them to do, but maybe they're saved, maybe they're even lost, but they're like, yeah, I sense God's love a little bit. But you know, when it's pouring the rain down, I feel it. When it's a gully washer or a toad choker, I know it. I feel the rain on my neck and on my head and my clothes start to get wet, right? That's the kind of way I want to experience the love of Jesus in my life. I want it to be a downpour. I want it to be a torrential downpour. I want to be a monsoon season when it comes to the love of Jesus. And you know, a big factor in that, again, I don't mean to be too overly redundant, but a big factor in that is, am I doing what Jesus wants me to do? But isn't that a huge blessing to abide? Yeah, and I don't know about you. Do y'all ever have a bad day? How many of you here has ever had a bad day? Some of you are lying. They're either sleeping. Because I think everybody has a bad day sometimes. But even in those bad days, if you're in fellowship with the Lord and you're doing what he wants you to do, you'll never be perfect. I'll never be perfect. But when I'm doing what God wants me to do, and as the song says, it's well with my soul, I'm obeying his command. Even on those bad days, isn't it good to know that God's love is right here? And you sense his love and his protection and his grace. I don't know. I think it was like Wednesday of this past week. I just really felt blessed. You know, Monday and Tuesday, I don't mind telling you, Monday and Tuesday was a little bit stressful for Dad when your son, who's never flown before, is flying all the way to the Ivory Coast. I think I did worse than she did. I'll just be honest with you. But on the inside, I was a little bit churned up there a little bit. You know, I was like a little bit. And then I think I told the Wednesday night crowd, there was a time when he texted, because you can't text on the flight, but he texted after he landed that we have landed in the Ivory Coast. And we're like, praise the Lord. But then there was a time, probably about 3 hours, that I didn't hear anything after that. And you know, we have this Find My iPhone app, and we could see that he was somewhere, you know, around that area, in a house. Dad didn't know if it was a hospital or what. You know, I could just see his location, but I wasn't getting any response back. And I don't know about you, but, and I'm not, if you know me, I'm really not much of a worrier, but this stretched me a little bit here. And But when, you know, and then finally he texted, you know, we're staying in a motel tonight, me and the missionary and his son, and we're going for about an hour from the airport. Then we're going to drive the 3 more hours to where the mission field is in particular. And everything was good. But, you know, in that time, you're kind of like, ooh, I wonder. Because he had the yellow fever vaccine. That's a whole story in itself. We were hoping he wouldn't have to take that. But it's kind of like, it sounds like to me, an outdated vaccine that they don't deal with anymore, but they still make you take it. So they did it over there. They took Jason in this dark room with flashlights and gave him a yellow fever vaccination. So I'm thinking, you know, did he conk over? You know, is he having effects from this? All that was kind of adding in. But so Wednesday rolled around and he was there and he was with the missionary. I could just kind of sigh a big relief spiritually. Now, don't look at me like I'm crazy, because you'd be doing probably the same thing, okay? But then Wednesday, I told Amy, I said, I'm just feeling blessed today. You know, that stress was there's still a little stress because he's in a foreign country, 5,000 miles away plus. But, you know, I really think what I was feeling was the love of God. You know, I told Amy, I'm just kind of feeling blessed just in life today. I just, you know, and hopefully we feel that way often. When we obey God, this kind of absorb the love of God. You know what I mean? Just kind of let it downpour upon you. But a lot of people, I'm really concerned that a lot of Christians won't experience that to the full degree. They get a sprinkle, but it's not a downpour or a monsoon, because they're not doing what Jesus wants them to do. You say, preacher, that sounds very simplistic. Well, my degree is in engineering. I worked as an engineer. Once you're an engineer, you're always an engineer. I know I'm pastoring now, but I'm always an engineer. So I am an engineer. And my job is to try to make things simple. I'm telling you, it is that simple. Do what God wants you to do, and you'll abide in his love. You'll feel the downpour of his blessing. That mean bad things won't happen? Not at all. But even when the bad things happen, those things happen and dog us down and really make it tough, we can still experience the love of God and abide in that love. The first blessing we looked at today, the blessings of obeying Jesus. Jesus showers us with his love. The second blessing of obeying Jesus, Jesus gives us joy. Joy. Now, this passage is so clear. It really is. When I look at it, notice what it says in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. And you say, what things is he talking about that he's speaking unto them? Well, it could go back to the beginning of chapter 15, as I mentioned, Jesus as the true vine, and when we abide in him, we can bear fruit. Or it might just go back to verse 10. If you keep my commandments, right? One verse back, it could be. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you. Now, it's not the joy of the world. It's not joy that we just bring on ourselves because, you know, I'm just having fun and enjoying all the pleasures of life. It's the joy of Jesus. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, Jesus says. My joy, the joy that I give, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You see, Jesus gives us joy. When we obey him and when we do it Jesus' way, he'll give us joy. Now, it's kind of like what I said earlier about the love. I think everybody that's truly born again has a degree of joy in your heart because you know where you're going to spend eternity. But I don't want just a little tiny dab of joy. I want the whole thing. Call me greedy if you want to, but I want the whole dose. I want, you know, that'd be kind of like, how many of you like ice cream? How many of you like when they put brownie in your ice cream? Soft brownie with chocolate, you know, chocolate icing on the brownie and all that in there. And then how many of you like it when they put chocolate syrup on top of that? And then sometimes I even enjoy when they put peanuts in there or pecans in there. and you're eating up. Now, wouldn't it be almost cruel and unusual punishment for someone to make one of those up and just kind of wave it under your nose a little bit and say, here, take one bite and that's it? That's almost cruel and unusual punishment, right? And I believe that when you know the Lord as Savior, in particular the world, I don't think they have a clue what real joy is. But someone who knows Jesus has at least a degree of joy. It's almost like one bite. I don't want a bite of that ice cream with chocolate brownie, with chocolate syrup, with peanuts and pecans. I don't want just a bite. I want the whole stinking thing. Don't you? And it's that way in my life. I don't want just a little tiny bit of joy. I want the whole thing. And you say, how do you do it? By keeping the commands of Jesus. Now, when we define that, this isn't your average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill joy. Notice what it says. These things I have spoken unto you, and hopefully you'll listen to it and obey it, right? That my joy might remain in you. This is the joy that sticks. This is the joy that stays. This is the joy that's continuously a part of your life. Remember, joy, it's like a smiley face on your heart. It's not dependent upon the circumstances around you. Now, if my joy depended upon the things around me, it would be up one day and down a day and up a day and down. Joy ought to be like this. It ought to be getting greater every day. The more we learn about Jesus and the more we do for Him and the more we obey Him, that joy ought to be getting greater and greater and greater and greater every day. And it doesn't depend upon what's going on out there. It depends upon my relationship with Jesus. Because this world's going to pass away. Like a vapor, the Bible says, that appeareth for a moment, then vanishes away. But I'm thankful that my joy, and I don't want just a little tiny itsy bitsy little bit of joy, a little spoonful of that ice cream. I want the whole schmeal. I want the whole thing. I don't care how many calories it might. You know, I've lost the same pound so many times I've lost track. But the point is, I want all the joy that I can get. And I believe every Christian has a degree of joy because you know Jesus and you know what the future holds if you know your Bible. But a lot of Christians aren't experiencing the full joy like they should. And this is joy that will remain, it says. And it goes on to describe it one other way, and that your joy might be full. You know, again, not just a little tiny dab, but the full, abundant joy in our heart. And the way to do that, if I'm understanding that verse right and the context right, the way to do that is by obeying what Jesus says. Obeying what Jesus says. You know, since I have defined it as basically a smile or a smiley face on your heart is what joy really is. It's on the inside. You know, the old world and the devil wants to get out a huge eraser and erase that smiley face off your heart, doesn't it? But you know what? Can I encourage you to write it in permanent marker on your heart? Draw that smiley face on your heart with a permanent marker that will not fade and will not go away. And the way you do that is by obeying what Jesus says. You know, there could be some people here today. I'm not done. Don't get excited. I'm not done. But there could be some people here today, and you're like, boy, joy. I wouldn't describe my life as joyful. I know Jesus, but I wouldn't say it's joyful. Well, maybe it's because you're not doing things Jesus' way. You know, we complicate it so many times, and we get our little pea brains into motion, and we think we know better than God. Can I tell you that you don't know better than God? And I expect an amen for this. Your preacher doesn't know better than God either. And when we take our life and say, I'm going to do it my way, that's when things kind of fall apart. And we lack the love and the joy that the Lord wants us to have. One more power blessing of obeying Jesus today. And that's what originally brought me to this passage, is that one verse here on Memorial Day. Thirdly, Jesus helps us love and serve others selflessly when we obey him. Jesus helps us love and serve others selflessly. What's it say in verse 12? This is my commandment. Here, there's that word again. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. And then he says, you know what? I'm not only going to tell you and command you to do it, but I'm going to demonstrate true love. Because it goes on and says, as I have loved you. Now, what did Jesus do that showed us that he loved us? He died upon the cross. I can't even imagine leaving the glories of heaven as the Son of God, coming to this earth and going through all that he went through. I mean, the crucifixion was the most horrible crucifixion ever, because he was bearing the guilt and shame of the whole world, your sins and my sins, when he died upon the cross. But you know what? Even looking at his ministry before that, it was not a piece of cake. Because people were out to get him. The devil was against him. The religious leaders were against him. The world and their philosophies, even of that day, were against Jesus. It was tough. He left heaven to do that for me and you. And he says, I've shown you what love is, or I will show you. He hadn't done it yet, but it's coming up very shortly. And then he gives us a hint into what's going to happen. He'd already been telling his apostles this, that he was going to die upon the cross. They were just didn't get it. But notice this next verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Wow. You know, the Lord says, you follow my commands. You listen to what I say. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And then he makes this statement, greater love. And when it says greater love hath no man than this, this is the greatest love. This is the greatest love, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's really, really a good verse, again, for Memorial Day, right? Because these soldiers who we remember today on Memorial Day or this weekend, they love their country, and they love their families, and they love the freedoms that we have, and they laid down their lives for that, to protect our freedoms. And for that, we're grateful. But you know, the greatest story, the greatest love story ever told, the greatest love, the greatest demonstration of love that the world has ever seen, as long as there's been a world, in the history of mankind, it was the love that Jesus showed us by coming to this world. You know, I've already quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Man, no greater love than that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. That word commended, don't let it throw you. It simply means demonstrated his love to us, or showed us his love. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. What a great demonstration of the love of the Lord for us. Wow, it doesn't get any bigger than that. I mean, don't think for a moment, well, Jesus had to come. He had to come. No, he didn't. He could have said no. Either God had to send him. No, he didn't have to send him. But he did it because he loves us. And when he did that, he exemplified to us that we should love each other too. And by seeing what he did for us, we should serve and love one another selflessly. Again, the death of Jesus, you know, can give us freedom from sin and death and hell when we trust Jesus as our Savior. You know, there's not anything I can more highly recommend to you than you trust Jesus as your Savior. Now, don't let my terminology confuse you. We use several terms to describe, and sometimes I interchange them, so I apologize for that. But trusting the Lord as Savior is the same thing as becoming a Christian, which is the same thing as being saved, which is the same thing of being born again. Those kind of all mean the same thing, all right? And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, the reason He came and the reason He gave His life was so that you could spend, as an individual, could spend eternity with Him in heaven. You see, we're sinners. You can't take sin to heaven. You can't go to heaven as a sinner. That's one thing that's not allowed in heaven is sin, right? So we need someone to pay that debt, and that's Jesus. And we know that His sacrifice and His blood paid the sin debt for the whole world, but in order to apply it to my account, I got to trust Him as my Savior. And I usually put it very simply, the ABCs of salvation. Just simply admit you're a sinner before God, that you've done things against Him. From your heart, in prayer to God, say, God, I'm a sinner. I've done things against You. Forgive me of my sins. And He erases those sins. He forgives those sins. And then the B, the ABCs of salvation. The B is believe that Jesus is exactly who the Bible says He was. The Son of God who came to this earth as a baby born to a virgin in Bethlehem, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross, and then resurrected back to life, conquered death. You need to truly believe that that's exactly who it is. But, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. No, you gotta believe it all. And you tell God in prayer that you believe that. You ask Him to forgive you, admit you're a sinner. You say, I believe all of that, and I confess Jesus as my Savior. Make Him your leader. Make Him the one that you turn to. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wow. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that He made a way for me to get to heaven. So if you're here today and you say, I'm really not sure if I'm going to heaven, what in the world are you waiting on? Easiest, best thing you can do. You got to mean it from your heart. I mean, that's why even little kids can sometimes understand this. I don't know. We don't know exactly. It depends on the person. But some kids understand it really, really young because it's simple. You simply go to the Lord in faith and trust and believe what He did for you. I'd encourage you. We're going to sing here after a while in another hour or two. And I'll be down here, and if you want to trust the Lord as your Savior, nail that down. That'd be a great thing to do today. And as you leave today, say, you know what? I don't have to question or doubt in my brain about where I'm going to spend eternity because I trusted Jesus as my Savior today. I'd encourage you to do that. But you know what? For the rest of us, one of the blessings of obeying God and His commands is the fact that we understand more what it means to love people. Really. And we've seen Jesus do it. And we know how to selflessly serve other people. Now, I'm sure that on a good day, you and I, we might show a little bit of love towards somebody. But believe me, it doesn't come natural, does it? And you and I might actually do a selfless act for someone, and we feel all good about it and everything. I did something nice. I paid for the guy's sweet tea here at McDonald's in the drive-thru line, and that just makes me feel good. I mean, even we might by accident almost and on a good day, but you know what? Because the Lord loves us, and when we obey His command, we can a whole lot better serve people and love people more. You know, Jesus told us when He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when we obey the Lord, let me just put it this way. When we obey the Lord and we're experiencing His love and we're experiencing His joy, it's a whole lot easier to love people the way Jesus did. So I'd encourage you. What a blessing. What a blessing of obeying the Lord. Today we've talked about the blessings of obeying Jesus. This is part one. Point number one today, Jesus showers us with his love. Secondly, Jesus gives us joy. Thirdly, Jesus helps us love and serve others selflessly when we obey Jesus. You know, I want to tell you, the best place in life to be is obeying the commands of Jesus. I mean, we complicate it so many times, and we think we want this object, or we think that we want this promotion, or we think we want, you know, just fill in the blank. We want these pleasures, and we want, but let me tell you, the place, the best place for you to be as a child of God, as someone who's saved, is simply obeying the commands of Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. I not only want you to experience God's love just a wee little bit, I want you to get in the monsoon of his love. I not only want you to experience joy, just a little itsy bitsy little bit of joy. I want you to have that joy written on your heart, that smiley face with a permanent marker. When the world, then the devil tries to erase it, you say, no way, it's a permanent marker. Because you're obeying what Jesus wants you to do. And I want you to show selfless love and service to others because you're just doing what God wants you to do. And you've seen the example of Jesus. Christian, if you're here today and you say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Are you living in complete obedience to Jesus? Are you living in complete obedience to Jesus? It's the most blessed place to be. If not, I'd encourage you. If not, I'd encourage you. We sing this song in a moment. I would come forward and say, to the Lord, not to the preacher, but to the Lord. And say, Lord, help me to obey you. And maybe just fill in the blank in this area or that area. Help me to fully obey you. You know, I wouldn't care any bit about what anybody thinks, because we're all sinners. I imagine everybody that's sitting there breathing today could say, you know what? I could obey him more. Y'all agree with that? And I know this preacher could say, I could obey him more. So all I'm asking you to do is take a step of faith, step out, come forward, come to the altar and say, Lord, help me obey you more. Forgive me when I don't. And to the lost, if you're here today and you're lost, never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Again, if you want to have the best life you've ever had, you know, a lot of people think Christianity is just boring. I can tell you, Christianity is not boring. Christianity gives me more hope and peace and joy and purpose and security than anything else in this world could ever give me. If you want that today, I'll be somewhere down front. You come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to take the time to show you how you can be truly saved today. Will you do that? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you for the clarity of your Bible. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us, you've given us, if you will, the recipe to be blessed, Lord, in following the commands of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as you speak to the hearts of those who may be saved today, Lord, I pray that you'll help them to step out in faith and come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to obey Jesus more. Maybe forgive me for not obeying him in the past or whatever the prayer is. Lord, all they need to do is talk to you about it, but may they take this invitation seriously. And Lord, for anyone that may not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, give them the boldness to step out and make that decision to trust Jesus as their Savior today. We commit the invitation to you now in Jesus' name.